grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level. Low power frequency radio modulation. The big sound. And good afternoon. Welcome to this, a very special edition of A Public Affair. My name is Alan Ruff. I'm your host here every Thursday, and this is an exceptional Thursday. You just heard the PSA announcing Amy Goodman tonight at the Orpheum Theater, and it just so happens that we have Amy with us live. We don't have Amy. Nigel, we don't have Amy. But again, this is a special edition in tandem with what's going on in the streets, this unprecedented, unimaginable upsurge here in Madison, Wisconsin. Getting a hands up from Nigel that we have Amy. Hey, Amy, how are you?
Hi, Alan. It's great to be with you and the listeners of WORT.
Well, we're very excited.
Me and Sharif are right here at the airport flying with Nicole Salazar as well. We're going to be making our way to Madison, Wisconsin, and really look forward to seeing folks at the Orpheum tonight at 7 as we talk about uprisings from the Middle East to the Midwest. It's astounding what has been happening in Madison and all over Wisconsin. And it's just amazing to, you know, have Sharif fly in from Cairo and just last night, two nights ago, and for him to land in the middle of this is quite remarkable.
You know, you're Amy, you're en route right now, and you probably haven't heard the news. We've just received word here that there are strikes in Saudi Arabia.
That what?
That there are strikes going on in Saudi Arabia.
Really? In Saudi Arabia?
At the Bin Laden.
Going on in Saudi Arabia. So let me put Sharif on for 1 minute, because he's going to be speaking as well. And this is just, I mean, these uprisings that are happening right now are just astounding.
Yes, this is Sharif Abdul Quddus, who will also be with Amy Goodman tonight at the Orpheum Theater. Sharif, welcome, and we're looking forward to hearing your updates on what's been going on as people fight the austerity and attacks on the working class on the other side of the globe.
Thank you, Alan. I just flew in two nights ago from Cairo, where I spent the better part of a month in Tahrir, as witnessing a popular uprising that cut across class lines, political lines, religious lines, and flying back to the United States. It's amazing to see now another popular uprising, this time in the Midwest, and people actually citing uprising in Egypt as some of their inspiration to take it to the streets. It's quite amazing to hear that that people in Egypt can export democracy to the U.S.
Yeah, early on in this, I thought of the slogan of Madison is not Cairo, unfortunately, but it appears that we may have some progress on that front as well. Well, we're certainly looking forward to both you and Amy being with us. Again, that's 7 p.m. tonight at the Orpheum Theater, a fundraiser for WORT and a boost of energy for the rebellion, the insurgency, the upsurge going on here in Madison that the entire nation and a good part of the world is looking toward. So, again, we're looking forward, and we'll see you tonight.
I'm looking forward to it, too. So me and Sharif will be with all of you at the Orpheum, and also we'll be with John Nichols, with John McCutcheon. Can't wait to hear him. John Norm Stockwell. And to be there to celebrate the 35th anniversary of WORT really matters in a time when the House zeroes out, tries to at least, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, really targeting public media. We got to stand strong, every one of us. And calling in to WORT to support WORT sends a signal beyond WORT that there is a mighty force out there that demands that the airwaves remain open and public. So looking forward to seeing everyone tonight at the Orpheum.
All right. Thank you, Sharif. Thank you, Amy. We'll see you tonight.
Bye-bye.
You heard it just now from Amy Goodman. Who could say it better than she? That is, without this alternative outlet, without this voice for democracy and progressive politics, what would it be like in a place like Madison, Wisconsin? I would argue that without Madison, without WORT, that lots of folks would not have joined into this upsurge, because it's the political education, the political awareness, the political news and coverage that you get at a place like WORT that you're not getting anywhere else.
that is so vitally important, especially in these times of political and social awakening. Give us a call, 256-2001. With me here in the studio are two youthful comrades, Tessa Wiley de Echeverria and Andrew Cernatinger, both of them participants on the ground here, eyewitnesses and political commentators, two very wonderful, sophisticated political activists of a new generation than mine, of course, and I welcome them here. Both of them have been involved in lots of activities here in Madison since they arrived. They were active in the West Coast in anti-military work out in Olympia, Washington, and it's a pleasure to have them. I must say they're both members of the socialist organization Solidarity, and I am as well, just to clarify that. But, I was out of the country for a week. You know, I waited in my entire life for a moment like this, and I end up where? With my in-laws on vacation in Mexico, and I got back to Madison, and, I sort of hoped that there'd be a huge crowd waiting for me, like Lennon at Finland Station, but I guess it didn't happen. Give us a call, 256-2001. Tessa and Andrew, welcome, of course, to WORT. Let's start with some impressionistic stuff. Of course, none of us imagined, say, 3 weeks ago that we would be witnessing what we are seeing today. We've talked before about these periods of lull, these periods of torpor, these periods when there seems to be no movement, no action, and suddenly there's this explosion. What's your take on that?
Well, first, Alan, thanks for having us here, and happy birthday. We're really glad to be here. I think what this has said to me, if anything, is that there's this kind of mythology that people are always asleep and they never pay attention. And what this week has really shown is that people have really, really been paying attention to everything that's been happening in the world, and especially the United States. You know, you can see in the banners, you can see in the posters that people are drawing by hand that they are very much engaged, and they've been looking for a political outlet for a very long time. And it seems like this is the kind of opening where, you know, all the rules have been kind of thrown out, and there's a kind of expression of discontent that's been building up for years.
Well, there's this kind of, the history of these movements talks about the sleeping giant. When the sleeping giant stirs, you poke it in the eye once too often, and there's these upsurges that nobody anticipated. You know, people say, oh, look at the fall of the Soviet bloc or the Soviet Union or the Berlin Wall or these momentous changes like we witnessed in Egypt. And suddenly it's going on here in Madison. Talk more about some of the things you've witnessed that you've been like, wow, I didn't expect this, or this is very cool, or Tessa.
I guess I would say it's been amazing how it's shifted over the week. It started out very much just simply kill the bill, don't do this, and transformed into more and more people coming out and stronger demands. And you saw a transformation from people just lobbying their legislatures and trying to get the government to do the right thing to starting to attack the corporate sponsorships and understanding how these people got into power and who they're answering to if they've made it very, very clear that they're not listening to any of the people who are in the streets demanding that they change these things. So.
You know, you mentioned, of course, the corporate sponsorship, and it's well known at this point that there's been this concerted effort, not just here in Wisconsin, but nationally by billionaire corporations and their think tanks and their foundations and their political fronts to snatch away legislators and state houses in order to press a very conservative, a reactionary agenda, not just in terms of economics, but politics and a total dismantling of any social protections. Andrew, your thought on that, there's this whole thing, of course, with this revelation, this wonderful thing that's aired in the past 24 hours about, this person posing as David Koch and speaking to Walker. Thoughts on that?
Well, I think that my feeling has been that, you know, the mood has changed a lot in this week. I mean, and I think Tessa is completely right that this kind of started, everybody was very surprised, and it was just a matter, you know, it had gone from this feeling of, like, they're going to bend, like, we can maybe get a compromise, like, they can drop the bad parts of this bill. And for the Democratic Party and for a lot of the union leaders, that was the strategy. And I think with the conversation that was broken through yesterday, that was leaked, I guess you'd say, demonstrate is that they are not going to budge an inch. You know, that's what Rocker himself has said. He's not going to budge. That this is ground zero. I mean, it was amazing to me for people to be saying that on maybe Sunday, ground zero, and then to hear Scott Walker say it in his own words, that this is ground zero, and that he sees this as really the place where he's going to make history and he's going to shift all of the policy of the United States. I mean, it's no accident that other states are facing similar legislation. The wording of those bills is almost identical. It's got to change for some specifics, like they don't have badger care in Ohio, but that's what's happening. And I think what that's meant for the result for people is, you know, he's not going to budge, so we're not going to budge. Like, we got to take this thing to the full extent, and you know, we have to win. Like, it's not just a matter of we want to win because we'd like to, but if we don't win here, then, it, you know, probably the entire country is going to go in this direction.
Andrew, talk about what's behind the slogan, the demand, kill the bill. That is, lots of folks are focused on the issue of collective bargaining, which is, you know, fundamental, of course, which is central and so vitally important. What else does this bill include that I wasn't aware? You know, I was out of the country for a week, and I kindly, I sort of began, you know, I've begun to look at it more closely. There's all lots of other aspects of this bill that will affect the lives of people across the state.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I think that the slogan kill the bill didn't really arrive until Wednesday or Thursday. Before that, it really was the lobbying, kind of like, don't do this, like, take out the worst parts of it. And as more people have arrived and realized that this is a big deal, it's been kill the bill. And you've seen people come out who've been Medicaid activists and public housing and transportation activists come out to realize what a big deal this is. And unfortunately, the slogan has had to change to be kill the whole bill, because the meaning kill the bill has almost been co-opted by people who just mean it to be like kill the labor parts of the bill. So, I mean, what's in there? Maybe Tessa can speak to some of the other things in there as well. But I mean, we know that there's things about affirmative action, that there's, you know, defunding of the public transportation system. They've talked about how the Madison bus system would be crippled by this whole
thing. Yeah, they're talking about selling off power plants without public bidding, open bidding.
Yeah, well, the thing about the bus systems is that a third of our transportation system is funded federally, and you can't get federal funding if you do not have collective bargaining rights. So that's where a lot of that is going to be going.
Of course, you know, I imagine that if they did away with collective bargaining, workman's comp would go, child labor law would go, child labor protections of minorities, anti-discrimination protections would go that route as well. What we know about these popular upsurges, these popular movements and these insurgencies, is that people self-organize. There's this notion that leadership has to come from above, and that there's this dumb mass, right? This inchoate mass, this crowd. Talk about some of the things you've witnessed in terms of people self-organizing, getting their own acts together.
Yeah, it's been amazing, the self-organization, the organic organizing that's just been coming out of the Capitol building. Slowly, as the space has been occupied for, I think, about 9 days now, it's going into the 10th day, people have set up food systems. Child care is being set up in one corner so that parents and teachers can really participate in the struggle as well. Quiet hours, there are cleanup crews that go through to really save the space. And also, it's just developing more of a culture with the signs and the chanting and songs that are coming out of it. And they're teaching classes in the Capitol now. It's really incredible to see the culture that people develop themselves.
At least in far as, like, people needing to be led, I mean, I think if anything, this week has shown that is absolutely not the case. You know, my impression is that people have really, once the space has opened up, have really known exactly what they wanted. And in some ways, there's been leaders who've actually been getting in the way and been potentially like stopping the things that people have been wanting themselves, the organic developments, the demands that they've been making. I mean, that's what I was saying about kill the whole bill having to be the new slogan, because, you know, it seems that some labor leaders, I mean, as much as unions have been fantastic and the rank and file have been very, very militant and very, very clear on what the objectives are, some of the leaders have been looking to be making some deals and been getting in the way of what is and should be a good victory here. Like a
256-2001. I was just handed this off of our news service on Thursday, February 24th, in cities and towns across Wisconsin, thousands of state residents and taxpayers will demand an end to the attacks on workers' rights in what will be the largest day of demonstrations outside of Madison in all of Wisconsin history. One day after Scott Walker admitted in a telephone call with someone impersonating David Koch, a wealthy right-wing donor to Walker, that he callously is playing politics with people's jobs, thousands of Wisconsinites will hold rallies, vigils, and town hall meetings to urge their leaders, lawmakers, to show real leadership and move Wisconsin forward. There are events planned in Appleton, a 5 p.m. rally, bringing Madison home Lawrence University's Seeley Mudd Library, 700 block of East College Avenue. In Beloit at 4 p.m., a pick and rally at 1240 Riverside Drive. In Berlin, 5 p.m. rally at Eastside Park. Eau Claire, 7 p.m. at Phoenix Park. Green Bay, a whole list of rallies you can call, let people know in that area at 703-314-2794 for information. In Fond du Lac, Horicon, Janesville, Kenosha, La Crosse, Manitowoc, Milwaukee area all over the place, Platteville, River Falls, Sheboygan, Stevens Point, Wausau. That is the Wisconsin idea, folks. Give us a call, 256-2001.
And right here in Madison, Wisconsin, there's going to be a rally at the Koch Brothers lobbying office. People are gathering at 3:45 p.m. this afternoon at Walgreens on East Main Street, right off the square, and marching over to 10 East Dottie Street, where their office is. That's this afternoon at 4 p.m.
256-2001. How do you see this connecting what's been going on nationally and internationally?
Well, I mean, I think that there's no doubt to me that that people are learning and being inspired and gaining confidence from the activity that's going on around the world and in the country. In the last year, we've seen a lot of uprisings in Europe, you know, and in Greece, in France, in the UK. And then here in Madison, it's been phenomenal to see plumbers, to see people who might consider themselves conservative before this really coming out and being like, walk like an Egyptian and having a kind of internationalist perspective, you know, that they themselves see, you know, are comparing Scott Walker to Mubarak in a lot of ways. And back from that, you know, there are pictures inside the Capitol that's from Egypt, which says Egyptian workers for stand with Wisconsin workers. I mean, that's been phenomenal. I think in Ohio, they themselves were also not ready for this. I mean, they didn't think that anything was going to happen, just like we didn't think anything was going to happen. And seeing what's happening in Madison, they've gained a lot of confidence, and they're starting to drop people out. There's 10,000 people there, and also we know that legislators in Indiana fled the state just like Wisconsin legislators did.
Yeah, I've heard on the internet this morning and so on, there was a solidarity with Madison demonstration in Boston. There's been people out in New Jersey, Florida, California, and I'm sure lots of other places, because folks understand, we should really talk about what it means if they're successful in taking down Wisconsin. Wisconsin and that great tradition of the so-called Wisconsin idea, which gave the nation long before the New Deal of the 1930s, the progressive tradition in Wisconsin of 1911, 12, 13, often referred to as La Follette progressivism, was the first state to have workmen's compensation and Social Security. It was the first state to have laws protecting governing child labor and protecting women's rights in the workplace, on and on and on. Safe food, you know, milk, you know, protections that were, you know, invented and created at the University of Wisconsin. The Wisconsin idea, you know, said what? That the two ends of State Street, the Capitol and the university, will are there working together in service to the people of Wisconsin. And now there's this corporatization going on at both ends that at some levels forgets the people. It's something I've been thinking about quite a bit lately. Yeah, of course, we... Tessa, you said Doty. It's Doty. It's named after James Doty, the very wonderful land speculator who came here as and platted out land. You know, he was on an exploratory mission for the then governor of the territory of Michigan, and he came and he said, "Dang, what a nice location! We can make a truckload of money." So it's some, you know, often romanticized, but there's also that strand of Wisconsin speculators. 256-2001. Talk about that corporatization.
Well, I think that one thing that's been really interesting was having conversations with people yesterday. They're starting to really get that. I mean, what looks like is that we're moving out of this period of the weekend where we thought that there was going to be one big hit on one side or the other, that either the legislator was just going to they were going to make a big push with the bill, and if that happened, that there would be some major response. And it looks like that's not happening as much right now. It seems like that's been backed off as the play, and that people are picking targets kind of to try to move in advance. And the conversations I were having yesterday in front of the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which I think is one of those places where people are starting to get it and put pressure, is that this is the way that you got to do it. I mean, you got to put pressure on the people who are funding him, and you know they are talking about taxes. They're talking about a 5% tax. You know, in Wisconsin would take care of this fake deficit that's already been here. They are talking about looking at the Koch brothers. I mean, that's become a huge thing in the last few days that wasn't there on Friday.
We have a phone caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Oh, hello, Alan. I'm calling to report from the Capitol.
Who is this?
It's MJ LaPlay.
Well, hi. Give us a report. What's going on up there right now?
Well, right now we're working to dispel a rumor that there is a health issue around the family center on the north wing first floor.
A health issue? What was that rumor?
Oh, there's a rumor going around. You know, there's always these rumors, right?
Right. Yeah.
And we're trying to hold space. There are only four of us that are holding space at that center.
And where is that exactly?
We are located in the north wing, first floor.
And are you asking for others to come up there?
Well, we've got it figured out. We've dispelled the myth. Some public health officers are arriving to sort of figure out exactly and assess if there is an issue. We also have the SEIU union organizing to come and help clean. You know, I must say, the Capitol has mice.
I understand that it has a bunch of rats as well.
And I think we need to get rid of both of those, whatever.
Vermin, vampires, vampire bats.
So that's
bats.
My report, just out there, just trying to get the dispelled rumors put out.
Well, that's
so that
good.
We can remain in the space and continue to invite and hold space for families that are being affected by the bill.
Well, I want to thank you very much. 256-2001, that exemplifies the function of WORT, right? We just had a call from the Capitol, an immediate update. You're not going to get that anywhere else, and that's because this is the people's station, a movement of not just talk, but social action, intervention, and politics. Give us a call, 256-2001. I want to thank Jeanette, who says, keep Radio Free Madison on the air. Yes, we are going to do that, despite the rats in the Capitol. To me, it's always incredible how, you know, we've for years now, we've been saying, think globally, act locally. But there's a dialectic there always. It all connects. And you were talking before, it interests me very much that people understand the connection between what has occurred across the Middle East and the U.S. And of course, the big connection are the wars of invasion and occupation, and what they suck out of the domestic economy, trillions of dollars going to wars and armaments. The both of you have been involved in anti-military campaigns before coming to Madison on the West Coast. Give our listeners a little of that. That is what you were involved there and how you saw the connections, Tessa. I know you had your butt arrested.
Yes, I did. Out in Washington State, we were involved in an organization called Port Military Resistance, where we worked in direct action to block military shipments from going over to Afghanistan and Iraq. Fort Lewis is the second largest military base, which was about 30 miles from our school, and they're the only people that can ship Strikers over there. So that's what we were.
Striker Force, the big mobilized armor vehicles and so on. And 256-2001, how do you see that connecting with the present?
I mean, I think it's a similar thing of solidarity that we're seeing here, where people are acting locally where they can to make an effort and an effect on their local climate and see that as a global thing too. You can see here people in Madison are working locally but are having global support, and so it's sort of the opposite way. We were acting locally to give global support, and now we're receiving that here.
I mean, a couple of, I think, kind of anecdotal things, you know, connections where, you know, when we were living out in Olympia, certainly, because it was the largest base on the West Coast, is where they ship things out, there would be people that would come from the Midwest out there. You know, you'd meet people from Wisconsin, you'd meet people from Illinois. I'm from Chicago originally, so it was kind of amazing for that. And then, you know, throughout the Capitol, there have been some GIs that have come home, and they're holding signs that say things like, you know, I went to Iraq to come back to this, you know, and I think that they're getting that perspective of, you know, this is like a, you know, we went out to fight a war out there for what we thought was for ourselves, and then they're fighting a war on us here. So I think that there's a lot of very upset veterans that are here as well.
Yeah, I noticed in the Capitol, I was up there last night, and there were, you know, vets there holding up signs about, you know, I went there to uphold democracy and union rights and so on, you know, and it's, several of them were obviously disabled vets as well. 256-2001. Let's go back. Andrew Sonatinger is going to be with us for a few more minutes. He has to go make bread for the people.
I am a baker.
Tessa Wiley Echeverria will be with us through the rest of the hour. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing today?
I'm good. Go ahead.
I've been following you guys for several weeks now. I'm in Indiana, and we have our own battle down here. But, you know, my opinion is that the only way this is going to get resolved is this drastic action taken. And that, by that, I mean, you got to hit people in the pocketbook. I think a general strike is what's needed. I think that's the only thing that's going to resolve this issue. I think it'll come to that. If it doesn't, I think you're going to get defeated.
I don't know if you've heard down there in Indiana, but the South Central Federation of Labor here in Madison has had a discussion. Who could have imagined that, say, even 3 weeks ago, even Jim Cavanaugh, the president of the scuffle, said, who would have imagined that there would have been a discussion within the South Central Federation of Labor about a general strike? There is talk about that here, and people are actively engaged in the preliminary organizing for that possibility. So I think you're dead on, and yes, hit him where it hurts in the pocketbook.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Well, call us again sometime. Maybe call us back with an update of what you're seeing in Indiana. 256-2001.
You know, I think that caller brought up a really excellent point. I mean, like, first of all, you know, the South Central Federation of Labor has been very progressive, much more so than the International AFL-CIO. I mean, first, you know, I think a lot of unions were not prepared to make this fight until last week when the, you know, rank-and-file workers came out, and they themselves pushed it forward. And then the AFL-CIO did step in, and they wanted, you know, they wanted to attach themselves to this, and they provided a lot of very necessary infrastructure. But I think they were looking for a compromise, and they were looking to kind of tone it down. And Scuffle's actions really have helped keep this thing going in a way, you know, that they themselves are an AFL-CIO council, and the AFL-CIO is, you know, is broadcasting the message that they put out there. So I don't know exactly what it'll take to win right now, but I think that putting the pressure on economically and politically is definitely where it needs to be. I mean, maybe too much has been politically in terms of talking about trying to get three Republicans to change their vote. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know, but certainly, you know, more and more people are defecting, and a lot of pressure is being put on them and to hit the pocketbook.
256-2001. We have a callback pledger, a pledger that's come back to us, pledged earlier this morning, and has increased their pledge because of the kind of news coverage and analysis that we're putting forward here. This person's name, let's see, I just had it. David, I want to thank you, David. Oh, another pledge just dropped on the table. They're coming in here. Leah, thank you ever so much. Wanted to say this is awe-inspiring by the people on the square. I guess she was referring to the folks just calling in with the live update. But yes, we're up on the square. WRT's been up there with people calling in regularly to give updates. And if you've just been on your tush, just listening to the radio, go on up to the square. Check it out, because it's really something. This afternoon, that mobilization at 4 o'clock at 10 East Doty to march on the lobbying office of the Koch brothers, the folks who brought you... why did I keep losing his name? Oh, yeah, Walker. Swordfish. 256-2001. Let's go back. Andrew, unfortunately, we're going to have to lose you here.
Yeah, just a minute.
All right, but let's take a couple more calls. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
It's a wonderful program, Alan.
Thank you.
And give those young people a real good hug for the tremendous work they're doing. I'm 62 years old.
I'm 62.
I never thought I am 62 years old.
I'm 62 and today.
And I never thought that I would see this occur in America. I thought that racism was going to continue at a level to where as consciousness would never be achieved by the collective. Scott Walker has did more to galvanize the consciousness of the collective than anything that I have seen to date in American history. And for that, he should be congratulated.
And run out of town.
Excuse me?
And run out of town.
Well, no, let's not even go there. Let's let's advance past all of that and continue to do what must be did in order to advance the collective and not to forget what the state focus and not to waver. Not to take things personal to the extent that they get in the way of accomplishing the mission.
Thank you.
And so far, you all have did tremendously well. So don't succumb to that.
Thank you.
Use the lessons of the civil rights movement to advance yourselves and to accomplish what has to be did. This is the struggle for the new world order. And to waste your time saying things negative about Scott Walker, it would be totally missing the point at this time.
All right. Thank you, caller. 256-2001. We have one more caller. Let's bring them in, and then we're going to go to Norm's here with me in the studio. We're going to get back to a little pledging. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. This is another old fart caller, but I wanted to give as a shout-out to some of your older listeners. It came to my attention just the other day that it's been 10 years since Sam Day died. And he was kind of the model of vaccine civil disobedience in the city. So I don't want to be maudlin and say somewhere Sam must be smiling, but he died too young, and I really wish that he could have been around to see, figuratively speaking, he was blind at the end of his life, see what's happening here and the fact that people are practicing civil disobedience. They're practicing everything that works.
I hear you. Yes, a lot of us who knew Sam miss him, and he would have certainly been up there in the Capitol raising hell. 256-2001. With me here in the studio is Norm Stockwell. What is your official title?
Operations coordinator.
Coordinator, not here a manager. We don't have a manager. Norm, one of the linchpins here for many years now at WORT. Norm, why do you do what you do?
Well, I mean, I do what I do because to me it's really, really important to have a way to get the voices of everyday people out on the air. You know, so much of the mainstream media, the commercial media, the business media in this country is all from the top down. It's all telling the stories of the people in power, the managers, the bosses. And what we do here at WORT is we give voice to the unrepresented and underrepresented sectors of our society. And yet it's the real people. It's where the mass of people actually live their lives every day. You know, we've seen it this past week at the Capitol, just this incredible grassroots upsurge of people, all different political stripes, all different experiences, all different issues, and yet coming together to voice their opinions about this in a real participatory sort of way. And WRT has been very pleased to be a, you know, sort of a vehicle for a lot of those voices through our news coverage, through our public affairs programs, through our music programs as well. But that's why I do what I do, because it gives me a chance to participate in making that a reality.
Tessa, what do you see as the importance of WORT? Norm's a tough act to follow, yes.
Well, actually, back in Washington State where I was going to school, I saw a need for independent media there and helped start up an independent newspaper that helped spread. It's so important to have news coming out from the masses and from the left and an accurate account of what's happening on the ground and a critique of the corporate power structure we have in this society and how much that plays into our media and what those people end up reporting on in mainstream media. So
give us a call, 256-2001.
I was going to say, you know, a lot of us come in here. I mean, I'm actually on the paid staff. When I wear my paid staff hat, and I'm also a volunteer here at the station. But over 300 volunteers that keep this place on the air day in and day out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for over 35 years now. But the only way that we can do it is with your financial support, because there are some things that you cannot do with volunteerism. You can't pay the tower rental by volunteering time. You can't pay the electric bill by volunteering time. And those are significant costs here at WRT. The tower rental is over $20,000 a year. The electricity and the gas to keep this building going here is well over $12,000 a year. So those kind of expenses can only be met when listeners like yourself, you who are listening to me right now, are able to go to the phones and give us a call, 256-2001.
256-2001. I want to thank you, Norm, not just for stopping in for a moment from your hectic daily schedule to pledge wrap here for a moment, but for everything you do for WORT and the broader community. 256-2001. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Is that me?
That is you.
Oh, thank you. What's been happening to my state over the past several months since Walker got in power has motivated me to research him on the internet, as well as his funders, the Koch brothers. And one interesting thing that I found out is Fred Koch, the father of these two brothers, he made his millions by setting up petroleum installations for Joseph Stalin in the from 1928 to 1932. And also, he founded the John Birch Society in 1958 to fight the civil rights movement. And then, because he had, was a marketing expert, they were accused of being racist, but they cleverly said they were not racist because they would allow African Americans to join their organization if they chose to. Also, the two brothers have, if you add up all the money that they've funneled to fight the Obama administration initiatives, including the job stimulus spending, that totals about $500 million. I think it's time we stop this, and I urge everyone to call into Wart and please make a donation. I've never donated myself. I'm unemployed, but I'm going to this time. I'm going to walk in my donation. Thank
All right.
you very much.
Well, thank you very much. You know, that raises the whole issue of a demand. There's a big banner in the Capitol way up on the second floor that puts it very succinctly, and I think it's exactly right. Tax the rich. Tax the rich. That is, at a time when the major corporations and the upper small percentage of the incredibly, unimaginably wealthy in this country and in this state are basically not taxed. Their income is minimally taxed, perhaps, and their wealth is never taxed, and their inheritance tax, you know, is basically untouched. Billions and billions of dollars that would immediately fix the state budgetary crisis is passed over, and it's taken out of the hides of the subordinate and the dominated classes, the middle class and working people throughout this state. That's the connection that has to be made. That's why Walker and his cronies are pushing the agenda get every drop of blood out of our hides.
And, you know, Alan, it's worth noting that WRT is not getting money from a lot of these big players, the Koch brothers and others, but we are getting money from the people who, you know, are at the bottom, like this unemployed caller who just called in, all of the working people that call in and make their pledges of support, and really any dollar amount that you can pledge really helps us along towards our goal. You know, 5, 10, 15, if you can afford 50, 100, 500, you know, that is very graciously accepted here at WORT. But it's all of the little pieces that give us that diverse base of funding support that means we're not subject to control of these multimillionaires that are pulling the strings in Washington and pulling the strings in the state of Wisconsin now.
You know, Noam Chomsky always talks about how the hatred of democracy that the ruling circles in this country and internationally have. While they give lip service to some democracy and say they're for democracy, they actually have a contempt and a disdain for the people and for the vox populi, the voice of the people. WORT is really a vox populi, a voice of the people. 256-2001. Tessa Wiley Echeverria, give us some updates. What's going on? You made that announcement about that demonstration this afternoon. You want to run that by and other things that are coming up?
So there's the rally this afternoon. It's time to kick the Koch habit. Send them a message that that's not what we want in Wisconsin. It's at 4 p.m. In front of Walgreens on East Main Street, and they're going to march over to the Koch offices, send them a message. Also, I would just say, come stay at the Capitol. Come check it out. There's air mattresses there. There's sleeping material being provided. Come for as long as you can and share. People are getting up and telling stories, singing songs. It's a good time, and you should come up and check it out.
You know, this is very great. You know, we often say that everything ebbs and flows, and in these moments of upsurge and popular mobilization, people are listening to Wart and voicing their support. Right now in my hands, I have about, maybe 15 pledge wraps. Pledge cards. You got to keep them coming. I want to thank Mary, Mary Trainer. I'm having trouble reading the writing, but loves all the music. She's been busy at the Capitol, and this is she says a thank you gift to Norm. Well, thank you, Mary. Brent, who likes Democracy Now and Public Affair, and Mel and Floyd, of course. Leo with Democracy Now, reggae music, and Esty Denour. Lots of things going on. Again, I want to repeat some of you who may have tuned in late tonight at the Orpheum Theater at 7 p.m., Democracy Now's inimitable Amy Goodman here in Madison with her colleague and Sharif Abdel Kudus, just back from Egypt. There'll be a host lineup of other voices there tonight. Again, that's a part of this mobilization going on in Madison, but it's also a benefit 35th anniversary fundraiser for WORT. You know, we have a few minutes left. If you want to give us a call, 256-2001.
And hopefully a call of support for the fine work that Alan Ruff does with this program every Thursday. Bringing, you know, the thing I like about A Public Affair is I kind of talk about it as a platform and a window. We provide a platform for these speakers to come and bring their information, their issue, their understanding of the world. And then we provide a window for you, the listener, to be able to interact with the guests, with the newsmakers, with the analysts. You know, you can talk with Noam Chomsky over the phone here on WORT, something that you don't get a chance to do many other places, certainly not on commercial radio. 256-2001, we've got some more pledgers.
Yeah, well, we do have, I'm going to run those down at the very end, but let's get in our final caller today. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
I wanted to give a call out, such as it is, to Leah Zeldin, who would have been absolutely ecstatic about what's going on now. And second, the Wisconsin State Journal, you know, their editorial policy is very ambivalent toward what's going on. But a lot of their reporters and especially their photographers are doing great work. And I would just take a look at the photographs of what's going on at the Capitol. They're just world-class, very revealing photographs. So, you know, you can be a reporter at a place whose editorial policy is not necessarily written in stone for the reporters.
Thank you very much. That is so true. You know, I mentioned at the top of the hour that I was down in Mexico last week, and the only English-language television that I could get in this part of Mexico was Fox. But
so you were stuck with Fox on both sides then in Mexico.
Yes. But there was that reality of the images didn't lie. And the Fox reporters standing there in front of the state capitol in Madison, Wisconsin, with people holding up signs saying police for labor, chanting Fox tells lies. Well, WRT tells the truth. 256-2001. We're going to get one more caller in and then we're going to have to wrap it up. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Please. Got a minute or so. You have to go.
All right. I've got a breaking news story for you. I just received an email from the secretary of Ask Me Local that the story is that Walker has a plan ready to go which would dissolve the Employee Trust Fund Board and turn the pension fund over to a private manager, no doubt one of those geniuses from a Wall Street hedge fund who brought us the crash of 2008. Is entirely possible once the fund is turned over to a private corporation to manage, they might see fit to lend Wisconsin enough to cover most of the $3 billion deficit. They will just put an IOU in the pot and assure us that pension checks will be there when we need them. Illinois did exactly that some years ago. Illinois recently announced they don't know how they will be able to meet their pension obligations.
Yeah, unquote. We used to, you know, in the neighborhood I grew up in, that was called a Ponzi scheme or from loan sharks. 256, we're going to write down to the end of the hour. I want to thank Tessa Wiley Echeverria. Thank again Tessa and Andrew, who was with us earlier, and the irrepressible, never sleeping Norm Stockwell. Thank you. I've been your host for this hour.
And tomorrow, Amy Goodman and Sharif Abdelkaddous will be here on Wart, but tonight at the Orpheum Theater. Don't miss it.
You got it. We bring the truth to places truth has never heard before. We bring the sound communication of our tribal war. Dark vision fly by helicopters in the night. Attempt triangulation of our station in the fight. Straight from the base, deep down, low precision. High crime treason we broadcast with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it.